There are very few Timothys and Epaphroditus. They were both selfless. Very few Pauls, concerned about the spiritual conditions of brothers and sisters in the Lord. What would the scripture say of you? Are you one that's concerned primarily about the things of you, or are you concerned about the things of the body of Christ?
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
Greg, our text today focuses on the story of a common man who chose to serve rather than be served, and who did it in a way that nearly cost him his life.
Yes, Dave, we're going to see today that when in submission to Christ, when we're willing to serve others, even when it costs us dearly, we become beneficiaries of God's greatest blessings. However, there is a caveat to this you're going to want to know, and we're going to talk about this in today's broadcast. So don't go away and turn with us to Philippians chapter 2, verses 25 to 30.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself with the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. It's all about Christ. Suffer hardship as a good soldier. We're in a war, brothers and sisters, and there is hardship and suffering. Yet it's the good fight of faith. The Apostle Paul and Epaphroditus were brothers in Christ. They were serving the Lord together, and they were fellow soldiers together. Do you see your brothers and sisters in Christ as in the same battle as you? We're fighting the same common enemy. We have the same commander. It's a battle going on. Encourage one another. Be united. So notice he says here, "But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and my fellow worker and fellow soldier." And notice what else he says, "who is also your messenger." We read this earlier in chapter 4, that Epaphroditus had been sent from the Philippian church to deliver a financial gift and most likely a message with that. He's your messenger. You sent him. He's your messenger. No small task. And notice he says, "who is also your messenger," and end of verse 25, "minister to my need." Isn't that wonderful? The Apostle Paul is in prison, he's suffering, and the Philippians have sent Epaphroditus to bring the gift and to minister to Paul's need. That's serving, ministering the physical needs of believers as they serve Christ. Ministering to the physical needs as they serve Jesus Christ. This term minister is an interesting term. We've seen it earlier. It comes from the Greek word liturgos. He uses this word. Rather than servant, he uses the word minister. It comes from the word litos, which speaks of people, and ergon, which means work. And in Greek culture, it spoke strictly of one performing public service. In the Greek translation of the Old Testament, it spoke of priestly service. In the New Testament, it speaks of one who carries out God's will by serving his people, ministering to them. It's sacred service. He says he was a minister to my needs. One pastor writes, "the service of Epaphroditus was ministering to the needs of Paul while in Rome. He was looked upon by the Apostle Paul as someone who was ministering in a context and that which had much sacredness about it." He used the same word that would speak of the priests in the Old Testament. You see, I don't think we think too much about what we do in Christ at times. When you serve the Lord, you are ministering. It's sacred service to the Lord. The Apostle Paul says he is one performing sacred service to my needs, for me. The things we do in Christ as God leads us are very important. Epaphroditus wasn't a preacher. He wasn't an apostle. He was a servant. And Paul sees him in ministering in this fashion. We need to up our view of what serving really is. When we serve the Lord, it is a big deal. And we need to do it with the right heart, the right way, serving the living God. You see, the Lord uses his word to equip us to serve. And we see in 1 Peter chapter 2 that we are living stones being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to the Lord. It's so easy to lessen the reality of what people are doing in Christ, maybe to compare what you're doing versus what they're doing, or whatever it might be. Don't do that. The Apostle Paul said he was his brother, his fellow worker, his fellow soldier, his messenger and minister to my need, performing sacred service. We saw it a little while ago. Turn to Philippians 4. The gift that was given was seen as an offering. The gift that Epaphroditus delivered was seen as an offering to the Lord. Look at Philippians 4 again, verse 14. He says, "Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction." Now skip up to 18. We've already read those other verses. "But I have received everything in full and have abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." That gift was a sacrifice. And what Epaphroditus was doing was ministry to the Lord. You see, folks, maybe the reason we don't see our offering as sacrificial to the Lord because we haven't really sacrificed ourselves. We don't see ourselves as a sacrifice. You know, in Romans chapter 12, we are to, by the mercies of God, present our bodies as living and holy sacrifices acceptable to God. We are offering ourselves. When you serve, you are sacrificing. You're giving something up. You're giving up yourself, your time to do the things of the Lord. It's a sacrifice. I'm giving myself over to Him. When I do these things, I'm giving up to Christ to do this. Maybe we need to see it more rightly at times. Epaphroditus was a man who was a faithful servant of Christ. He was a minister performing sacred service by ministering to Paul. And guess what? This service cost him. It was a sacrifice. It almost cost him, as we will see, his life to serve the Lord. Now, as we continue, not only was he a faithful servant, he had a genuine concern. You know, and this is one thing that is on my heart. Are we concerned for our brothers and sisters rightly? Do we have a genuine heart concern for where their hearts are at? Look at this. Back in our passage, chapter 2, verse 25. "But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, my fellow worker, fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need, because," I'm going to send him, "because he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick to the point of death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him only, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I have sent him all the more eagerly, in order that when you see him again, you may rejoice and I may be less concerned about you." I like how Paul is just straightforward, saying the way it is, right? Remember, Paul began saying, "I've sent Epaphroditus back," and this might have been a shock. We knew he was sick. Is he not serving anymore? Is it done? Is he well enough to come back? Why can't he keep serving Paul? Might have been a shock. Has he become homesick? So Paul affirmed by sharing his character, and now he explains why he sent him back. Verse 26, he says, "Because he was longing to see you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick." Epaphroditus was longing to see the Philippians. He was distressed. There was internal turmoil. It speaks of being terribly upset. He was troubled because they were troubled. They deeply loved him, and they heard he was on his deathbed, as we'll see in a moment. And he was concerned because they thought he was dying. And he wanted them to hear the news that he wasn't dying, that he was alive, that God had healed him. He was concerned for where their heart was at. Are you concerned for where your brothers and sisters' hearts are at when things affect them? Are you concerned? He had compassion. "Because he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick." Remember, there's no email, there's no telephone, no FedEx, UPS. They had heard he was close to death, and then he had heard that they had heard. Time had passed. And so Epaphroditus was anguished because of their concern. He was considering them as more important than himself, by the way. Philippians chapter 2, have this mind in you. When you see people, do you consider them more important than you? Do you consider their feelings? I'm not saying that we don't say things that are difficult. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, deceitful the kisses of an enemy. I'm not saying we don't come alongside and exhort and admonish at times. I'm saying, are you concerned about where their hearts are at? We all need to be convicted about this. He was concerned. You see, love for others is the fruit of a right relationship with Jesus Christ. Galatians 5. Do you wonder why maybe you don't see people that way at times? It's because we can just become more important. Our agenda, our schedule, whatever it is about us can become more important than those around us. He had compassion. And what's amazing is God was gracious and God healed him from this sickness. Look at verse 27. For indeed he was sick to the point of death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. For indeed he was sick to the point of death. The Greek reads this way. He was alongside death. Death and him were neighbors. It was that close. He was on his deathbed. And he was on his deathbed, as we will see, for the work of Christ. He did it for Christ. It wasn't foolish. But in the process of serving Christ through difficult situations, by traveling that distance, all that he had done, he was on his deathbed. Now, folks, here, he wasn't sick because he was sinning, was he? There's some bad theology out there that says when people come sick, it's because of personal sin. Now, we know from 1 Corinthians 11 that, yes, God does discipline and he does cause people to be sick sometimes and even disciplines them to death because of sin. That's true. But not always is that the case. You can never say from your vantage point that it's because of sin, unless there's actual sin to be seen, right? He was sick to the point of death. But notice the contrast. But God had mercy on him. It's a wonderful statement. God took pity upon Epaphroditus and he healed him. You know, we live in a sinful, fallen world. And the death rate is one per person, right? Every breath we take is a gift from God. And God is compassionate and he's merciful. And he is loving kind to those who call upon him. And God had mercy upon Epaphroditus. Sometimes people get caught up in God's sovereignty. Well, it's ordained to be whatever it might be. Don't mess with his attributes. They're all together, not just one by itself. He was merciful. Pray for those who are sick, that God might be merciful. He healed Epaphroditus. He was gracious. God had mercy on him. Sometimes we cry to God for mercy and he gives it. Sometimes he doesn't. But here he did. And in verse 27, we see the mercy was extended to Epaphroditus, and he was healed. But his mercy was also extended to Paul. Guess what? When you love somebody and they're suffering, it's hard, isn't it? You care so much for them. And God had mercy. And he says here, for indeed he was sick to the point of death, but God had mercy on him. And not only on him did God have mercy, Paul says, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Do you know how Paul would have felt? This is real people, real feelings. This is real reality. You only would have felt if someone died in the process of serving him. He would be sorrowful for the loss of Epaphroditus, but have great sorrow also upon that, because it was because of him in a sense. God had mercy on Paul too. Therefore, because of Paul's great concern for Epaphroditus, we see also Epaphroditus received mercy. God answered prayers. Paul and Epaphroditus are wonderful examples of caring for one another, aren't they? They really are. We can become so theological and so sterile in our understanding of Scripture at times, rather than living out the reality of genuine love for one another. And they loved each other. And God was merciful. So then, what's going to happen here? What's Paul going to do? Let's read back. He's going to say, therefore I sent him. Let's go back and read up to our passage in verse 28. But I thought it necessary, verse 25, to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need, because he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick to the point of death, but God had mercy on him, not only on him, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I have sent him all the more eagerly, in order that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less concerned about you. Therefore, I've sent him all the more eagerly, all the more eagerly. Do you know how unselfish this is? Paul is sending the guy who's ministering to him because he wants to alleviate his heart concerning the hearts that are concerned about him in Philippi. Selfless. I'm going to send the guy that's ministering to you. I'm sending him back so that you'll all rejoice. You see, Paul had great concern for Epaphroditus and the Philippians, that it would be turned to joy when they were reunited. You see, Paul is grieved because Epaphroditus is grieved, because the Philippians are grieved. So Paul says, go back there that we all would rejoice, right? Therefore, I have sent him all the more eagerly in order that when you see him again, you may rejoice and I may be less concerned about you. Paul was concerned about them. It's wonderful to see such heart of concern from real shepherds, isn't it? It's the heart of concern that Jesus had. Turn to John chapter 10. Jesus says in John 10:11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He was a hireling and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, beholds the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hireling and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And folks, when we trust in Jesus Christ, when we abide in him, we let his word work in our hearts, he gives us a concern for one another. And we see that here. They were concerned. And Paul was more concerned about Epaphras' heart because he was concerned about the Philippians because they were concerned about him that he sent him back. It's a tremendous lesson for us, folks. It's a tremendous lesson of what is really important. There are very few Timothys in Epaphroditus. They were both selfless. Very few Pauls. Concerned about the spiritual conditions of brothers and sisters in the Lord. What would the scripture say of you? Are you one that's concerned primarily about the things of you, or are you concerned about the things of the body of Christ? Certainly you got to take care of your own things. We know that. But we're to see others as more important than ourselves. How do we become like Epaphroditus? Simply put, we trust and obey the Lord. We allow his mind to control us. Philippians 2, verse 5, have this attitude which was also in Christ Jesus. Serving in the body of Christ, emptying oneself to serve, and then a humble obedience. Obey the Lord, even to the point of death. Guess what? Epaphras almost died obeying the Lord, didn't he? And God was merciful on him. We see that in the final portion of our passage. Notice he was a sacrificial servant. Therefore, verse 29, receive him in the Lord with all joy, and hold men like him in high regard, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me. Because of Epaphroditus had great concern for these Philippians, and the Philippians had great concern for him, Paul sent him back. And he gives commands how to receive him. Therefore, receive him in the Lord. In the context of a real relationship with the Lord and how you would receive one of his people. Receive him in the Lord. Receive him in the Lord also with all joy. They're to rejoice when he gets back. They're not to be saddened. They're not to be tempted to think, Epaphroditus didn't complete his work. Paul had to send him back. No, that's not it. Paul is more concerned about the hearts of the people. So rejoice. Therefore, receive him in the Lord with all joy. And then notice the next command. He says, and hold men like him in high regard. Present tense. Continually keep holding men like him in high regard. The term high regard speaks of being highly praised, or it's even translated precious. It's the same word used speaking of Jesus Christ in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. A precious in the sight of the Lord. High regard. See it as precious. He risked his life, and it's an interesting word. The word speaks to roll the dice. He gambled his life. Now, he gambled his life not in his own wisdom or ways. The Lord was directing him to serve him. The church had sent him. It was in the context of serving the Lord, but it was a gamble. He risked his life. He rolled the dice. That's what the word means. He exposed himself to danger for Christ. Guess what? When you step out, you will expose yourself to difficulty. It is a risk. Wasn't that foolish? Not if Christ is leading. Yes, there are people who expose themselves and gamble, and Christ isn't leading at all, right? This was the Lord doing this. It was a real risk. And he says, hold them in high regard as precious. Hold this man in high regard when he comes back. He almost died for serving Christ. He was willing to do it. And I ask you, are you willing to die for Christ? If what God called upon you to do would cause you to possibly lose your life, something might happen. You know, there's this bogus theology out there these days that you're supposed to make sure you're really rested. Don't burn out. Don't burn out. Don't expend your energy for Christ. Well, sometimes people expend their energy for Christ. He did so. He was to be held in high regard, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me. And what does he mean by that? That the Philippians hadn't fulfilled their service completely? Well, yes, in a sense. It wasn't complete. There was more that God wanted them to do. And that was done through Epaphroditus. You see, they had a responsibility in Christ to take care of Paul, in a sense. And they did. And he fulfilled what was deficient in their service. You see, and if we don't serve one another, by the way, on a side note, we are lacking and we are shortchanging one another. If we don't. You know, we're commanded to serve one another. So I want to ask you today, are you deficient in your service? Is there anything lacking? We've seen today a tremendous example of the mindset of Christ, seeing others as more important than themselves. He risked his life to serve Christ, to do a very simple task, deliver a message and serve Paul and bring that money. But it was a difficult task that he almost died doing. We've seen in the past few weeks three examples of selfless, humble, obedient service to the Lord. Those who did not complain and grumble, but worked out their salvation with fear and trembling, being obedient. We have Paul and Timothy, and today we've seen Epaphroditus performing sacred spiritual service and ministering to the needs of the Apostle Paul, risking his life. Do you see the mundane tasks that God has ordained in us serving one another as service unto the Lord? Is your heart, does it have a heart of compassion for where people are at concerning the difficulties that come in the context of serving Christ? Does your heart ever get concerned when someone is fighting the good fight of faith and difficulties come upon them and they're concerned? Are you concerned? Epaphroditus was a great example, an example that we can follow. He was Paul's brother in Christ, a fellow worker, a fellow soldier, one in sacred service, ministering to the needs of others, willing to give it all up. How about you? Maybe it's time to go back to when you first got saved, when you were willing to do that. Whatever you want, Lord Jesus. Whatever you want.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Philippians. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, in our final moments today, you spoke earlier of the importance of honoring those who serve. So give me some ways that I can hold those who serve in high regard.
Well, Dave, obviously it is really important to commend those who serve because God does that. But we need to do that in the right context. You see, God is the one who works through them, and God gets all the glory then. So we ought to be thankful for them. We ought to give praise and glory to what God is doing through them. But more importantly, their example ought to motivate us to serve others. As the Apostle Paul told Titus, we should learn to engage in good deeds to meet pressing needs. And as the writer of Hebrews said, we should consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Yes, we should honor those who are faithfully serving. giving God all the glory, but we should move past that and allow their examples that we see in Scripture to motivate us to be faithful, obedient servants of Christ, exemplifying the mind of Christ, seeing others as more important than ourselves. I'd encourage you to trust Christ, step out today, and serve our great Lord and Savior by serving His people.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again on Monday, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.